I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports with Balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Mahomes trying to buy some time on that bad ankle. Moving to his right. He is now scrambling, and he's going to get a first down. And now gets hit late. It'll be a 15-yard penalty on top of the gain. Harrison Butker, the biggest kick of his Chiefs life. Placement is down. Butker's kick is up. The spinning kick high, floating in the air. And it is good!
I mean, what a redemption story. He comes back, and after a high ankle sprain, has kind of moved his season a different direction than he wanted for a period there, and he came back and just knocked it out.
I didn't expect to be able to run very much, just from the way it felt, but the training staff, Julie, did a great job of getting me enough range of mobility that I was able to protect myself.
Yeah, a tough loss. You know, we didn't make the plays that we needed to win this game, and they did down the stretch, and that's what it came down to.
That's hard. You know, this is emotional. We worked really hard to get here, and, you know, any play that people feel like is left out there, you're going to take it hard. Joseph comes to work every day, man. He loves ball. He loves being a part of this team, and it didn't come down to that play.
That's Zach Taylor, head coach of the AFC North champion Cincinnati Bengals, after the fact, talking about Joseph Asai, who got the unnecessary roughness penalty on Patrick Mahomes as he was out of bounds. And I'm sure we'll be bringing up the officiating in both games throughout the course of the next few hours, which was debatable. That was I don't think anybody should be running hot over that call.
Because you had to call it.
He was
way out of bounds. Yeah.
Out of bounds.
I haven't heard anybody complain about the call. Was anybody complain?
Social media, I saw a lot of conspiracy theory talk.
Really?
I mean, the video was obvious. Spoke for itself.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, Joseph Asai was crestfallen on the bench, as we saw, almost inconsolable. I mean, one of his teammates was caught on a video, kind of blasted him a little bit for, you know, committing the penalty, which basically put them in Kansas City field goal range. And Butker kicked the 45-yarder to send them to their third Super Bowl in the last 4 years, the Kansas City Chiefs. For Cincinnati, a frustrating loss. Joe Burrow was sacked 5 times under constant pressure.
12 pressures, I think it was.
Patrick Mahomes, nowhere near 100%. You could tell that the mobility was pretty limited, and he couldn't get into his throws because some throws that he would normally make in his sleep, he was worm burning a couple. But he gutted it out. And for the Chiefs, here they are defending their home turf. Apparently, they were pretty upset with the fact they were calling it Burrowhead.
Yeah.
As that was mentioned many times. I think Travis Kelce even broke out a jabroni in the post-game revelry there. But 23-20 was your final score. So, Vinny, for the Cincinnati Bengals, we heard Joe Burrow. They made plays. We didn't. It is what it is. And Joe Burrow said a couple weeks back, you know, what's your window to win? He goes, my career's the window. As long as I'm the quarterback of this team, we're going to have an opportunity to win championships. So they fall just short of making it to their second Super Bowl consecutive, but it's all about the Chiefs in an entertaining, thought it was going to be a little higher scoring, personally.
Yeah.
23-20 is still, you know, was more competitive than the NFC game, which we'll talk about. But, you know, when we look back at it, it's always about missed opportunities.
Well, what did Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com, when we had him on, sure. what did he said it was going to come down to the last series, who made a play on the last series, and Kansas City did, and that was the final, you know. So I thought it was a hell of a game. Bengals, you know, the money they spent on the O-line, they need to go Go get Powers. You know, go get some real guards in there and stuff. You know, I mean, their O-line. And I told you in a bullpen, you know, like guy was missing the right guard. It would have been the same. You know, Jones, none of those guys could block. But if they put Jonah Williams out there, they'd have been, he'd been a turnstile. So.
Yeah, Dafe Owe was wearing him out.
Yeah.
In the game, he got hurt.
Yeah, I don't think that was a big thing. I mean, the thing that killed him, Bob, was the punt return. You know, with 41 seconds left when they punted. And they said, I was watching on TV, like on GetUp or something. They said, yeah, there's, what, five blocks in the back, you know, on that play?
And I guess they couldn't find their flags at that particular moment. But the Kansas City Chiefs, that was the Chiefs Radio Network, by the way. They win the AFC Championship, the Clark Hunt or Lamar Hunt Trophy. Excuse me, Lamar Hunt, who was the founder of the AFL, one of the founders, founder of that franchise, Kansas City, and he coined the term Super Bowl way back when. So Lamar Hunt, his family gets to celebrate again. Now they go to play Super Bowl 57 against the Eagles, who blow out San Francisco. But, Vinny, that game, unfortunately, was decided early when Brock Purdy got hit and then hurt the elbow, couldn't throw. Obviously, Josh Johnson, former Raven, he came in, and, you know, they just could not get anything generated offensively.
Yeah, it was sad. I mean, Purdy got hurt, like, third play.
First drive, yeah.
Yeah, and then the game was over. You know, I mean, you saw the interviews with their players after, you know, and they said, yeah, basically over before it started. So that was tough, tough for the Niners. Eagles look good, though. I mean, that defense looks good, and the Niners have a good defense. So they, I mean, they made plays on them. Philly is hot at the right time, Bob. I mean, they're scorching hot right now. How good they're playing the last two games. I mean, what are the scores of the last two? You know, a lot to a little.
No contest,
right?
In either one.
So Philly's a team. I guarantee you, Philly, Bob, they'd be like, damn, I wish we could play next week, not have a bye, you know, not have 2 weeks.
But as good as San Francisco's defense is, and they had a lot of self-inflicted damage penalty-wise, the block on the block in the back on the roughing the punter, that was a terrible call. But at what point do they maybe think it's a futile thing? Because they know even if we play like the 2000 Ravens, we're not getting anything offensively here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we can't score a touchdown. So, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, Kyle Shanahan's probably like, damn, I'm trying. I mean, McCaffrey's touchdown was, like, unbelievable.
Yep.
So Kyle's like, damn, I'm trying everything. And, you know, how do you call plays when you can't throw the ball? You know, I mean, they're putting all these guys up in the box. It was just a coronation for the Eagles, like, after the first quarter.
Yep, it was all over pretty much. You know, if you took the points and the under, you were in business yesterday. Philadelphia and San Francisco. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this Monday, if you want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Super Bowl 57 is set. The Eagles are installed as two-point favorites early on. And I guess, is it based on Mahomes' less than 100% health status? And they're the two number one seeds, by the way.
Yeah.
But the fact that, you know, they are really playing well and they deserve to be two-point favorites, whether Mahomes is healthy or not. In Glendale, Arizona, by the way.
And Bob, and they got that defensive line they got. I'm talking the Eagles. I mean, they get after. I mean, they put two quarterbacks out in one game.
Yes, they did.
You know, so, I mean, that defensive front. I mean, it kind of shows you, and they have good secondary too, but, I mean, that defensive front, they don't give you time to throw and all that. That's why, for the Ravens, that's why Ajabo and Owe, they need – you can pay all the dudes you want in the back end. It's about those dudes up front that cause quarterbacks to have hard times.
Let me ask you this about them, Philly, putting two guys out. Should there be a third quarterback on the sideline for instances like this that maybe doesn't count against your game day roster?
I would say
because nobody
for
wants
that
to
position,
see,
right?
Yeah, nobody wants to see Kyle Juszczyk quarterbacking in the NFC Championship game, or a guy that can't throw, literally.
Right. You know, I would say Bob that you know you have two that are active, and then there's a quarterback dressed that is emergent only if. Situation like yesterday. I could see them talking about that this offseason because they normally create new rules when something, you know, happens in a big nationally televised game that everybody's talking about. So I could see that, especially if nothing else, Bob, in the playoffs.
Like you said, and everyone will agree, I'm sure, as we were watching the game or listening to it on the fan, once Purdy went out, that game was over.
Yes.
And then once Josh Johnson went out, it was definitely over because they had no passing game whatsoever. And it turned out to be a dud game because the buildup to it, it looked like it was going to be a premier matchup, yep. And it didn't come to fruition. But injuries, Vinny, as we know, the very, very realistic part of football.
For sure. Yeah, no doubt about it. And it was just tough luck for the Niners. And like you said, I mean, Bob, did you watch all four quarters?
I did.
Did you?
Always got that daily fantasy interest.
Oh, okay.
So you're always watching.
But I mean, I'll bet you, like, unless if you're an Eagles or Niners fan, you're probably watching. But if you're, you know, just a football fan,
you might have went early to the pregame show for the AFC Championship.
No doubt.
Or look for your favorite college hoops game or whatever else was on the tube. But a lot of people were probably whining, Norm, like LeBron James was Saturday night on that non-foul. Oh, my God. Holy mackerel. I've seen kids have less tantrums at Toys R Us when they didn't get their favorite toy back in the day.
Well, the bad thing was...
he was pouting and rolling all over the floor. Like,
well, they'd have won. They'd have won the game,
care. I mean, think there was an overreaction or what?
Well, and then when the ref came out and said, yeah, we screwed up.
Well, I mean, they could say that every game. But the coolest thing was when Patrick Beverly brought the camera out and said, hey, you guys screwed it up. We got a picture of it. It's Vinny at 81057. The Fan, if you would have joined us, you can at 410-583-1057. Terps went handily on Saturday. Jeff Ehrman will be joining us to talk about that at 11:30 from InsideMarylandSports.com. Also, signing day football coming up in a couple. Is Maryland going to pull a surprise or two out of the hat like they normally do? Cordell Woodland will be joining us at 11, talk about the playoffs and the Ravens with him because the list of offensive coordinator candidates seems to be growing by the day, by the hour. We'll talk about that and more here on the Fan.
What are you drinking? Vinny. Cake bread, Chardonnay. Haney. Mick Ultra. Drink. Vinny and Haney. 105.7. The Fan.
The identity of the offense is what is important in that vision. And we've established an identity for our offense. That's an identity that we're going to carry forward. I think the org speaks well of the organization, the city. Within that, the schemes that you run, the formations, that's all kind of methodology.
I guess John Harbaugh wants the offense to have some Baltimore traits to it. Identifying with the city that the Ravens play in. As a Baltimore native, I just take a better red zone percentage touchdown. I think
Harbs is talking about physical toughness, right. You know, being tough guys,
right.
You know, that they can run the football because they're tough physical. I think that's what Harbs is talking about because whoever comes in, you know, he's going to be installing. I mean, you're going to hire him because you want to install what he has done.
Now, what is that trait going to be that will be different from Greg Roman? Again, we go back to the passing.
That's the whole thing, you know, because Harbs is going to say, okay, you know, during the interview process, we like a lot of the stuff that Greg Roman did. I mean, you got to in the run game. You got to like it. I mean, you were the best in the history of the game. Plus, you're, you know, for the last, 5 years, you're 1, 2, or 3. So you are doing good stuff. How can – my question, you know, if I'm Harbs, I'm asking whatever the coordinator is, you know, is it possible for you to incorporate some of that run game with your pass game? That's what I would want to know. How do we incorporate some of Greg Roman's run stuff with your pass game.
Now, of the names that have been linked to the Ravens, does any stand out to you? Eric Bieniemy, Ravens requested permission to talk to him, as have a few other teams.
And he's interviewing for the Colts head job.
Right.
You know, the only thing with Bieniemy that, you know, why I would want to, you know, talk to him is because we see Andy Reid calling the plays. How involved is Eric Bieniemy in the offense? And the other thing is Bob, if you've got, I mean, if I'm GM of a team and I've got, well, let's look at Dallas, for instance. Okay, Bob? Let's look at Dallas. D coordinator, Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
You're fighting and scratching. If that dude is good and your guys are playing, you're fighting and scratching to keep him. You know, you don't want him to get a head coaching job. You want to pick. I know when Mike Shanahan took the Bronco job, Carmen promised Mike the head job a year. You know, stay for another year. They're going to pay him up the ass, and then the head job's yours in another year. You know.
Why did he leave? Pardon me.
Mike?
Yeah.
He had been at Denver before, sure. And he was tight with Bolin.
In he L.A.
Yeah. That's, yes. That's the biggest one. So, my concern with Bieniemy is he the guy? You know, I mean, you got Patrick Mahomes, you know, you got Kelce, you had Tyreek Hill, but Andy's the one that creates all this stuff.
Right. And Vinny, we've talked about with Bieniemy before. I'd have figured by now he'd have been a head coach in the NFL, but those opportunities don't appear to be there for him, Indy aside, and who knows what they're trying to accomplish with the Colts. Todd Monken,
Georgia. And we had talked about him just because he had done such good things at Georgia. Plus, he's been a coordinator in the National Football League, so he's got that experience too. So, you know, maybe Harbs does something like that, like he did with Mike McDonald coming from college, but also having pro experience. I mean, would he hire Todd Monken? Wouldn't shock me because, I mean, the quarterback, I mean, Bob, they took a quarterback that was, you know, not even a draftable. I mean, he was just a guy, you know, just a good leader. Made him a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Sure.
So Monken would be a guy that would be of interest to talk to. And I think he's talking also to Tampa, and I'm not sure if there was anybody else.
Now, for the Ravens, do you want to take a dramatic departure from the Greg Roman offense or keep a lot of what he, you know, the schemes and certainly the running success, just tweak it a little bit? Because the passing game is, we've discussed 1,000 times and everyone knows because you watch the games, and it's like it's night and day. One's unique and one's almost unstoppable, where the pass offense is like, what the hell are you doing?
I'm going to try to.
Where's the creativity?
I'm going to try to keep as much of the run stuff as I can, if I can, you know, and that would be up to the OC, you know, how can he incorporate it? And I'm still going to be anxious to see, Bob, when they hire whoever, what other Ravens coaches may be on the way out.
Turnover in the ranks, you think?
Well,
we talk about
offensively,
Urban.
Yeah, offensively, like, just because you always let, and even Marty Morningwig said it when we interviewed him when we talked to him last Thursday, that you're always, Harbs will let him bring in a guy or two. Like Mike McDonald, he brought in the dude from Michigan. He brought in a linebacker coach. You know, so he brought in a couple guys. So I'm guessing, you know, a couple guys will be coming along with.
If you have a recommendation for John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta in regards to a coordinator, offensive coordinator, you want to share it with us, you can at 410-583-1057. We'll get back to grading the Ravens. We've got to get to the tight ends. We got to get to front office and the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. We still have some work to do there as the postseason or the offseason now for the Ravens started a couple weeks ago when they lost to Cincinnati. Now you got the Senior Bowl coming up this week.
Oh, they're down there now.
Then you got the Combine coming up when? A couple weeks,
Combine's
three?
Usually middle of February, I think, normally.
It's after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
By the way, February's in 2 days. I'll throw that one out
there. Right. Pretty soon we're going to be talking about you know, mini camp.
Oh, God. We'll be doing profiles and everything that goes along with it. But Ravens offseason is very much a part of their reality right now, as it is for 30 other teams now, because Kansas City and Philadelphia have made it to Super Bowl 57. We're 18 days away from pitchers and catchers. We'll be talking more about the Orioles as the weeks progress. Are they done wheeling and dealing, at least in regards to pitching? Rich Dubroff said Friday on the show, he thinks so, and is that good enough, what they have, to compete in the American League East? Terps tomorrow taking on Indiana. Hoosiers are on fire. They won five in a row, but Maryland's won, what, three of their last four? They're back to 500 in the league. They're in the tournament right now, if it happened today, which it doesn't. So Kevin Willard could be dancing in his first year, and I got to be honest with you, I didn't think they would, but they still have plenty of basketball left to be played. You got signing day coming up in a couple of days. What is Mike Locksley going to do to bolster his recruiting class for 2023?
MLB, NFL, NCAA, get it all right here. 105.7 The Fan.
I thought he's been great since the first day he got here, and very clear in terms of what we were trying to accomplish with our defense, in terms of building a certain vision, a certain scheme set into our structure, and you saw it evolve throughout the course of the season.
John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, talking about Mike McDonald, this year's defense coordinator, replacing Wink Martindale. Wink went off to the Giants and helped them get into the playoffs, but Mike McDonald, after some early struggles, I guess, in pass defense, they started to settle down a little bit in that area, accumulated more sacks than maybe a lot of people, Vinny, thought that they would heading into the year. I mean, he got a little cold in that area for a stretch. Houston was on his way to the Pro Bowl, it seemed, for a while. And then he kind
of ran out of gas.
Hit the wall in the sack category. But as we get into grading the coaching staff, and we'll start with Mike McDonald, comes in from Michigan. Helped turn around that defense with Hutchinson and Ajabo and Dax Hill, three premier talents, to say the least, heading into the league this season. And he comes in and, you know, he had familiarity with the team. Remember, he was only gone for a year. He was Patrick Queen's coach when he was a rookie. So how would you view the job that Mike McDonald did here?
Yeah, and I think the thing that, you know, hurt Mike early on was he was still kind of learning what everybody's roles needed to be. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, you know, they were trying, you know, Kyle Hamilton in a certain role. A lot of the younger guys in certain roles, and it killed them early on. The young guys were killing them early on. So I think they learned and they kind of developed. You know, so I mean, like after the first quarter of the season, you probably give Mike McDonald like a D, you know, and then you start to where's this guy, you know, best playing at? You know, so they started, you know, they were playing, okay, they brought in JPP, and all of a sudden JPP, you know, is good playing the run. You know, and Houston was playing good rushing the passer, and Oway wasn't really doing much. Then, all right, the linebackers kind of sucked, the inside guys. Then they go get Roquan Smith, and I think once they got Roquan Smith, all of a sudden, you know, Mike McDonald became – here's why they improved so much and why he became, you know, what he did, and the defense got that much better. Number one was Roquan. And then number two, Kyle Hamilton grew up, you know, and the role that they had for him was perfect. You know, I mean, most of the last month of the season, I thought Roquan and Kyle Hamilton were two best players on the defensive side. And the other thing was Calais stayed healthy, and Calais was dominant. And the defensive line got better. I mean, Washington was kind of a surprise, you know, how he played. And then Matabike kind of showed a pulse rushing the passer with 5.5 sacks. And the biggest thing was too, you know, the first quarter of the season, we were like, Queen ain't getting no fifth-year option. He sucks. You know, he's slow finding the football, slow reading, all those things. And then you get Roquan, and then all of a sudden, Queen's like a Pro Bowl linebacker.
Yep.
So all those things helped and improved the defense. And the defense had to improve because the offense went to crap. You know, after Lamar got it, they couldn't score any points. So the defense had to play well. And I think Mike McDonald, you know, I think he got comfortable, confident, and had roles for everybody. And then all of, you know, with Peters being out, who was kind of your dog, all of a sudden that dog was, you know, Roquan. Roquan's as big a dog as Peters, you know, a crap talker and, mm-hmm. you know, and trying to, he, to me, when he tackles people, he tries to hurt people. I mean, he's throwing them down and doing everything else. So
it's a physical game, that football.
Very, very much so. And I love Roquan Smith. You know, and we talked all along how he was their MVP on defense. So I thought, you know, Mike got better. But the thing that helped Mike McDonald, too, was the talent got a lot better, you know. And give the coaches credit because they developed a lot of those things, you know, that were going, like Kyle Hamilton, they brought him along. You know, because, I mean, we were complaining about during the year, Bob, that he's getting 15 snaps or 14 snaps and, you know, not getting any reps in the back end. You know, and all of a sudden that came. There were, Geno Stone was playing ahead of Kyle Hamilton.
Yes, he was.
You know, so I think like Mike goes from like a D, you know, to a C, you know, and then at the end, he's probably a solid B. Just because they made great strides, they improved. Run defense was outstanding. They didn't give up a lot of points. I think, you know, by the time it was all said and done, they were, you know, once Roquan got there to the end of the season, I think they were like, what, ranked like number two defensively. So I'd give Mike McDonald in his first season, you know, a solid B. Started out extremely shaky and kind of brought it all together, and now going into the offseason and next season, got to feel pretty good about what you got.
If I was going to offer one critique of the D this year, that kind of stuck, they really struggled at the end of halves.
Yes.
And in the fourth quarter.
And
because they had that stretch where they every game they've led by at least double figures, and they were finding ways to lose some of those games. So maybe tight. It got better after the bye as the offense went down the toilet. The defense started to elevate. But maybe, you know, tighten up those end-of-game situations.
And you know what does that, Bob? What did it yesterday? Chris Jones. You know, the pass rush. You know, why did Buffalo, you know, want to go get past Von Miller?
Sure.
To close. You need a closer. In those situations, you need somebody that can go get the quarterback. You know, like Suggs in his day. You know, that those kind of guys. And, you know, they need a Jabo to be a Jabo where he's a threat. And he can go close out a half and close out, you know, end of game like Chris Jones does for the Chiefs.
We'll come back, talk about the offensive coordinator that was here, Greg Roman. The job he did, you know, maybe it's a moot point because he's no longer the guy, but we'll look back at the offense that was. Injuries were certainly a factor when you lose your starting quarterback for the final few weeks of the season. Does not help your cause. And we're going to talk about John Harbaugh and the job that he did. They got to the playoffs again. Fourth time in 5 years, the Ravens made the playoffs. Again, however, they didn't last long. We'll get into all of that and more. If you want to start handing out grades, get your ruler and your eraser and your pencil ready. Let's grade things here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, put your headphones in and ignore your coworkers. 105.7 The Fan.
Super Bowl 57 is set. Kansas City Chiefs getting there for the third time in 4 years as they hold off Cincinnati. They actually win the final 5 seconds of the game. Harrison Butker, game-winning field goal. Joseph Asai shoves Patrick Mahomes after he's out of bounds. 15 yards added to the tally. Puts him in field goal range, and that was that. Kansas City will take on Philadelphia, the Eagles. Remember, they were Super Bowl champs back in 2017. Mm-hmm. For the fourth time in franchise history, they advanced to the championship game of the NFL, and Jalen Hurts had a strong game, even though it was a mismatch because San Francisco was somewhat limited offensively because of injuries at quarterback, but the The Eagles, you handle your business.
Yep.
You don't go, all right, since you're banged up, we'll make Jalen Hurts sit out. We'll put our backup in to make it fair. No, you go out there and you kick their asses, and that's kind of what they did. 49ers defense, Vinny, hung as best they could, but eventually it was just too much to overcome.
Yeah. They bent, and then they broke. You know, I mean, it was just a matter of time, you know, because they know. I mean, you don't – if you lose your starting quarterback, all of a sudden, you know, your energy level and your mental outlook on, damn, we got no shot. You know, I mean, like with if Purdy was still playing, you know, then you're fighting. We got a chance. You know, we're going to compete. We're going to play. But then, I mean, it happened so early that, you know, you come out the sideline just like, ugh.
Yeah, watching the game with my wife, and my daughter, and my cousin, and, you know, and all the family that was there. Well, he's back in the game. So then I was like, no. He's only back in because that guy got knocked out.
Right.
If he could play, he'd have been in there all along. He's just there because they don't have anybody else to play. And Juszczyk would have been the emergency guy.
Throw it four times. You know,
two in the second half, yeah. None beyond what, like 5 yards. But hindsight, retrospect, whatever. Would Kyle Shanahan have been better off just letting McCaffrey and Juszczyk kind of do the old wildcat as opposed to a guy that you knew 99.9% of the time was handing it off to somebody?
Yeah.
I mean, even when they tried to get creative with Deebo Samuel, he was getting destroyed behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, because there's no threat of a pass.
Right.
You know, and you feel bad for Purdy. You know, because, I mean, he's got this opportunity. He's been playing great. And now, Bob, if the MRI shows that he doesn't need surgery, it's still 6 weeks. I mean, Bob, he's out there, and you're still looking at 6 weeks of rehab.
Right.
Recovery. And if he tore the ulnar, then...
That's Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, then, you know, then he's out for a while. Then all of a sudden, Trey Lance.
It makes them rethink things, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Super Bowl 57 is set. You can hear it on 105.7 The Fan. Right now, early line is Philly -2. Getting back to the Ravens, we talked about Mike McDonald, the job he did, year number one. Let's get to the offense. Well, the Ravens, they second in the league in rushing, behind only the Bears. 28th in passing. Greg Roman is gone, so... Ultimately, what doomed this Ravens offense in 2022?
I think the same thing that did in 21. Kind of similar. You know, and I don't think, you know, because if Harbs didn't want to replace both coordinators at the same time, you know, I mean, basically then you're starting over with a whole staff. So, I mean, he did half of it, and I think the pressure was on the offensive staff that you got to step up or step out. And they needed to improve in the pass game. You know, like Harp said in that press conference, I mean, you got to be able to throw it from the pot. You got to be able to throw like an NFL team.
Sure.
And Greg Roman could not do that. They did not, you know, and you know, if you're Greg Roman, you say, well, hell, look at the receivers I had. You know, I couldn't do any. But it just, I think it was just a scheme. And it's not like... If you look at Greg Roman's history, that's where he's been ranked. I think in 10 years that he was a coordinator, other than maybe 1 year where he was 23rd in pass, he was hovering near the bottom the whole time. I mean, right. That's just who he is. You know, he loves to run stuff. He's super creative with the run stuff, and the pass game suffers. And you know, receivers don't want to go to the Ravens. They block a lot and do all those things, and you know, you heard Marquise Brown. And then when you got players start complaining and bitching too, and I'm sure, you know, they just got frustrated publicly, but you know they've probably gone to Harbs privately. So it was time. They'd outgrown him.
They had that epic year in 19,
yes,
where they were number one in efficiency throwing the football.
Yes.
Lamar won the MVP, led the league in touchdown passes. But since then, it can be very difficult to watch them in the passing game. And there are myriad of reasons. You mentioned the schemes aren't that creative.
Yeah.
They haven't exactly had the best wide receivers running around on a field on any given Sunday. So, and the quarterback's been hurt 2 years in a row now.
And the O-line, other than this year, you know, last year was real bad.
Brutal.
You know, so, I mean, Greg's had some tough things to deal with, but That's who he is. I mean, if he had, you know, he had an outstanding offensive line this year. They're still not creative offensively in the pass game. You know, that's the thing. I mean, how many times, you know, do you watch Kansas City, you watch Cincy, you watch all these teams, you're like, damn, they got dudes running wide open. Ravens never, they got guys running into each other and stuff, and they stink in the red zone, and, you know.
Like the Keystone Cops.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was time. And like I said, I you know Lamar was frustrated. If Mark, because here's what I always go back to. Marquise and Lamar rode home together after every home game. And probably away games, you know, if they were driving together. And we heard what Marquise said. So what Marquise was saying, I guarantee you, was not far from what Lamar was saying about the pass.
And it had to be a gigantic warning sign because we talked about it after the trade on draft night. Here's a guy that had 90 catches, 150 targets, I believe, last year,
yes.
Over 1,000 yards, and he couldn't wait to get out of here. He was the focal point,
yep.
He and Andrews, of the pass offense, and he wanted no parts of it anymore.
Right, right. And it was time. It was time. I mean, they need, with Lamar, because Lamar, Greg Roman was the perfect guy for Lamar at that time. Then 2 or 3 years later, Lamar outgrew that. The Ravens outgrew that. And, you know, because people catch up to his run stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got to be able to adapt. And you got to be able to throw today's game, you got to be able to throw the football. And if you can't, I mean, Bob, who else this year did anybody play, you know, three defensive backs against an offense?
I mean, they're daring you to do something you can't do.
Right. Right. And whether it's
in 2022 NFL too, which is like unheard of.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so I mean, and G-Row, I have not seen anything that he's interviewed at any of these other places for a job, and I just Googled it to see, and there's nothing, you know, so that's extremely quiet. There's nobody is requesting Godsey or Urban.
No, who've interviewed in-house for the candidacy. So this is, Cordell Woodland's going to be joining us top of the hour, Ravens reporter. Of course, you can hear him on weeknights, shaking it up sports and on the weekends. He and Rita talking about all things sports and concentrating a lot on football. Now, Kellen Moore got condiffed in Dallas
Friday and is interviewing today in Chargers. You know, so, I mean, Greg Roman's been gone for a couple of weeks now and's got nothing. So, I mean, well, Kellen Moore, Bob, I mean, Kellen Moore has had some really good offenses, you know, Dallas. I mean, why did Jerry Jones want to keep him when they hired McCarthy? Because McCarthy's an offensive guy that's always called the plays. And all of a sudden, Jerry's like, no, you be the head coach and let Moore call the plays. So he's had good success. So I could see where he's getting. I mean, he had a head coaching opportunity. G-Row not getting any of that stuff. G-Row will get a job. It's hard for G-Row even, like, unless it's like Michigan or the Chicago Bears, maybe, you know, Atlanta or somebody like that, somebody that wants to run the football. But there's not a lot of opportunities for G-Row to go be a coordinator because he's got that reputation.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland coming up next. Talk Ravens and playoffs with him. Whip around 11:15. What happened in the world of sports yesterday afternoon into the evening? Couple of things of local interest. Also, this day in sports history, it is January the 30th. Jeff Ehrman, InsideMarylandSports.com, joins us at the bottom of the hour. Braden Pierce, who's he? He's a 7-footer, and he committed to Maryland over the weekend. Still relatively new to the game. He's the always exciting project guy. We'll talk to Jeff about that and more. And signing day for football is coming up Wednesday. Any surprises coming our way as Maryland fans?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.